Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes changing up your makeup look for fall. From lashes for days with the viral Liquid Lash Extension Mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple just-gotta-get-out-the-door routine or fall glam that wows from the office to all your favorite fall festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics.com/cozy.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Yeah. Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The Junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the Junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the trip.
Well, what is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. It's another solo Saturday episode. I'm your host, Junkyard James, and we're back and better than ever, as Eric Bischoff used to say. I appreciate you all for tuning into this episode today. Whether you're watching on YouTube or listening to this on the audio version of the show, I appreciate you all tuning in. We're working on YouTube to get to 100 subscribers, but the first main goal to get there, we got to get to 50. We're almost at 50. I think we're at 46 or 47 subscribers now. So hit that subscribe button, like this video, comment down below what you think about it, share it, turn on those notifications. That way you get updated when we go live on Thursday for the Thursday live stream. Or if we drop a video or post something else, we're trying to be more proactive on the social media front. So make sure, especially on YouTube, if we're posting shorts or clips of the videos, that you turn on those notifications. That way you get notified when something drops. If you are listening to the audio version of the show, hit subscribe on your podcast application of choice, and give us a 5-star review if you enjoyed this show. Let everybody know that this show is just a good show that you enjoy watching. And yeah, let's get going into this show. We gotta first start by saying thank you to all of our partners: W Energy, WWE Shop, RSS.com, and StubHub. Check out all of those links in the description. Join the Discord community. There are several ways that you can do that. The first is just check the link in the description. The second is going to junkyardmediagroup.com and choosing the button that says join the RWC. While you're there, check out the website, junkyardmediagroup.com, and go to beyondthejunkyard.com. That's our merch store. You can get some of the old logo shirts. We're working on updating the logos there. This show's going to be a little bit different than what we normally do. You know, typically we jump right in and we stir the pot a little bit. We rock the boat a little bit on this show, but I have a feeling that this show is going to be just as good, just as entertaining, and that is the goal that I always set out to do, is make this as entertaining of a show as possible. So first things first, I posted something in the Discord and on our social media pages a couple days ago, asking just simply, it said hot topics, and then it said what should we talk about on the show, essentially. And I got a couple responses. We did one on Thursday on the live stream, talking about people that we thought, you know, the current WWE regime has kind of, you know, not used properly or whatnot. And we got a second one, and I said I would save it for this episode because it's not really wrestling related. It's, well, not really. It's not even resembling wrestling in any way, shape, or form, but it'll be a good way to start the show, so we'll start off there. Then we'll jump in. There's not going to be a lot of segments to this show. The final piece, the monologue of the day, is simply on 10 ways AEW can secure their space in the wrestling industry long term. So let's jump into the question from the community. We'll jump into the AEW stuff, and then that's today's show. I hope everybody enjoys it. And so let's get into it. And so the purpose of me really wanting to do like a hot topic on each show is I'm not a fan of doing like recap shows. Like, I watch Dynamite, I watch Collision. I feel like if you really wanted to get up to date with the stuff that gets shown on TV, just watch the show. Having somebody recap it for you, they don't give it justice a lot of the time. There's so many people, like, or you could go to any other podcaster and get the same recap because we're all watching the same stuff. Now, we might have different opinions on things, and so it is what it is, but I don't want to recap just weekly everything that happens on TV. My response is, if you really care enough about the recap of the weekly show, watch the weekly show. And that's what I'll put there. But I do like talking about a lot of the behind the scenes, a lot of the juicy IWC content. And if I'm put in charge of what we're going to talk about, I'm going to make it fit. You know, I'm going to make the show fit in a way that is stuff that I want to talk about. And so I do want to make the show a really big community centric place where the stuff that we, that is talked about on this show, the people that watch the show get a say in what we get to talk about. And so that's what we're doing. And so send me some wrestling questions. Send me some, you know, just random questions if you want to have random stuff. Those random questions more than likely will be saved for this solo episode. And the Thursday segment will have a lot of the more wrestling-centric questions. But here's the first question for the Saturday show. This was sent in the Discord. What is your Super Bowl pick this year? This person said, I picked the Lions versus the Bills, and NFL experts and analysts have also made that pick. Second part of the question, what is your hope for the Bills season record-wise? Well, everybody could tell by the flag flying above me that I am a Buffalo Bills fan. And so, this may be a little biased of a question. And I know this question was asked because I am a Bills fan. What are my expectations of the Buffalo Bills season this year? And I think the Buffalo Bills, at their worst, will go 13-4 like they did last year. And at their best, I think 17-0 is possible if they play the way that they play when they're at their best. But there are some games that they don't, and we play a lot of really tough opponents. So I've always been set, ever since the schedule was released, that the Bills will go 15-2 this year. I really think in the regular season, the Bills go 15-2. I don't necessarily have teams that they're going to lose to. There are teams like the Ravens. They could lose week one, the Chiefs, the Eagles. They play the Bengals. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a world where the Bills go 11-6, I would say. But there's also a world where the Bills go, 13-4, 12-5, 14-3. Like, anywhere between 11-6 and 17-0, I'd say is a safe bet. I think 15-2 is an okay number for the Buffalo Bills. And here's the reason why. So all of our games, all the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals, they all come into Buffalo this year. We have the most friendly schedule when it comes to our home, or what games we have to travel to. We don't travel past the central time zone this year. So we travel one of the least amount of miles. We have the reigning MVP, Keon Coleman, is back for year two. The Bills were just second overall in the league last year in points per game at 30.8 points per game. My biggest worries are on defense, but they stacked that defensive line. I am happy with the way they do on defense. I have some concerns on in the defensive backfield. Our secondary is a little weak. And if we get into the second and third stringers, we may have some problem because we lack depth in those positions. But I really like the offense. I think we're going to put up a lot of points again this year. We have a favorable schedule in terms of all of our hard teams we play at home. I really think this is the Bills' year. Now, you asked about the Super Bowl prediction. I'm not so high on the Detroit Lions as a lot of people are. I'm not even sure the Lions win that division this year. I really like Green Bay, Minnesota may be a dark horse, though I don't know. If you don't know what to get out of Minnesota, I think they may take a step back. Like, that division's hard to predict, but I think the Packers are the better team in that division. Jordan Love is there. I think they got a better defense. They got a decent offense. I just don't know how to take the Lions. They're always a little iffy for me. My Super Bowl pick is the Buffalo Bills. I think they finally get there. And it's hard to pick against this team, so I'll put them there. I think Philly. I think the Eagles will go back to the Super Bowl. They'll play the Bills. We get the Bills against Philadelphia in Santa Clara, and that's going to be my pick. Now, put a caveat there. There's a rumor, and again, it's not confirmed. People are reading into some of the comments that Taylor Swift made when she was on the New Heights podcast with her boy Travi and Jason Kelce, that she may be the Super Bowl halftime show performer. And if that's the case, the fix is in. The Chiefs will go back to the Super Bowl. They'll win the Super Bowl during the Super Bowl celebration on TV. Travis Kelce will propose to Taylor Swift and then retire from the league. And maybe that's just best for football. I don't know. But in reality, no, I'll go Philadelphia taking on Buffalo. Hopefully Buffalo wins this time. And, you know, fifth time's the charm, right? I don't think you're far off. The Lions could get there. I'm just not as high as a lot of people are on them. They are a good team, but I don't know. Like, they were supposed to get there last year, and they shit the bed against Washington. And they haven't found the ability to win the games that actually matter in the postseason. And so it's hard for me to say they'll get it done again this year. So give me Philadelphia, give me Buffalo. And that's how we'll start this show off. So guys, hot topics. We'll try and do one on Thursday. We'll try to do one on Saturday. So send them in, either comment below on this video or send them in the Discord or send them on social media. We're going to try and post more regularly on Facebook and X, and even now Instagram. I created an Instagram account for the podcast. And so all of those links can be seen at junkyardmediagroup.com. Let's talk now. Let's transition in to some wrestling content to end the show. Guys, you know what time it is. It's time for the monologue. And so the talk in the real wrestling community is we got to be real, we got to be raw, we got to be relevant. And I think this is relevant. I think this is real. I'll be real. These are my real thoughts. I'm not sharing some form of curated clickbait, cringy grifter stuff. Like these are my real reactions to the stuff that we talk about. And it's raw. Raw good stuff here. So listen, we've talked a lot about WWE on this show the last couple of weeks. And so I wanted to transition into an AEW centric show, for a couple of reasons. Number one, there was some talk in the Discord about just my uber focusedness on WWE content. And so I wanted to change it up just a little bit for the Discord community, a little bit, you know, give them what they want to hear. But also I want to see metric wise if AEW content can hold its weight against the WWE content. So it's a little bit of like an experiment to see like where the audience is on YouTube. But I am an AEW guy myself, and I love AEW, but I gotta be honest with you, I'm a little bit concerned about where AEW is and where their future may be in the next couple of years once their current TV deal that they just signed ends. I have just a little doubt, because I know how hard WWE is playing. They're all in on the competition now, and they're going to try and do everything in their power to kick AEW off of mainstream TV. They did it to TNA. You know, like TNA used to be pretty big at one point in time, and then for a while, like, they couldn't even get on Spike, they couldn't get on any of the mainstream networks. They had to, you know, Destination America, Access TV, Pop. There was just a bunch of like smaller networks that TNA was able to get on, and I have a feeling they're going to try and do the same thing with AEW. Because let's just be honest, just real quick, there's, again, take the blinders off for just a moment. WWE's focus has always been to be the only source of pro wrestling in the American market. Not just to be the biggest, they want the entire pie, right? They don't want half the market share or three quarters. They want the entire market to be WWE or to be wrestling promotions that are more friendlier to WWE than those who aren't. And so I'm sure if you were like me, you grew up in WWE, you thought all pro wrestling, even in the indie scenes and all of that, was WWE, and they want it to be that way again. And so I had to sit down for a minute and think about what are some ways that AEW can secure their space in the pro wrestling game. Like, because to be honest, Tony Khan has enough money that he could fund this company for a decade or so on his own without needing a mainstream company. And I think he'd have a large enough fan base at this point that it could be like a Rev Pro or a GCW, where it's like big enough to get a little bit of talk on social media, but like it's nowhere close to WWE, right? But I thought of 10 things that AEW can do to secure their space, just in case when their TV deal comes, there's a little bit of a push to try and not allow a company to sign AEW or to not offer AEW an extension or whatever it may be. The first one is we got to bring back AEW Dark. This can again go on YouTube. It can go on Watch ROH. It can go on, you know, whatever, wherever it needs to go. I don't think you need a TV market for Dark or whatever. You can show this on AEW's YouTube channel. And it had its moment. It had its purpose when they first created AEW Dark as a way of bringing in like people that you haven't seen before. And like, I remember Chris Statlander debuting on Dark in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she did so well and got such a good applause from the Charlotte fans that she eventually was given an AEW contract. And so this is, again, you got to bring Dark back. AEW has such a big roster that you can debut wrestlers on Dark, create storylines on Dark that can transition into the main show. And then people who are injured and need to rehabilitate themselves. Like, the thing that I loved a lot about AEW when they had Dark was like, you could debut. It was almost like AEW had a minor league system, right? You could go through Dark and then once you're, you know, once people know who you are a little bit, you can then go to the main shows. And they need to bring that back because they have so many people that just don't have a lot of time on the show. Or maybe they relegate them to ROH for a little bit. And it's just like, put it for free on YouTube and let people see who these people are, see if they get an audience. It can be a way for you to test out if they're willing, if they're able to do, you know, TV on the bigger shows before throwing them on TV and it doesn't work out or whatever. So bring back AEW Dark for debuting and rehabilitating wrestlers before they go back to the main shows. The second thing is similar but different. Bring back AEW Dark Elevation and make that a women's only show. There are so many women in AEW's roster that I think that I think if they used AEW's roster properly, we could say AEW has the best women's roster in terms of wrestling than any roster in the game. But a lot of them don't get the time on TV. An extra hour of just women's wrestling or an extra hour and a half of just women's wrestling on Dark Elevation. Again, it could be on YouTube for people to watch it and to know some of these women's wrestlers before they get, you know, and to see if they can get elevated to main story pictures. I think you got to play WWE's game for them, right? So they have Evolve. They have AAA for development now. They have TNA for development now. They have LFG for development now. Bring back Dark. Bring back Elevation. Don't make it the same, but you got to have, you got to play the game. And I think this would be the best way to do it is like have a championship dedicated to Dark, have a championship dedicated for Dark Elevation. And there you go. And see if you can push these people or, you know, bring people down and start some feuds. And it allows you to have meaningful content on your YouTube channels. The third thing, I think this is something that should have been done a while ago and they haven't done it. The one thing I love about WWE is, and I don't watch their content a lot, but I have their mobile app. And what I can do right now is if I log into the WWE mobile app, it gives me front page, the news, a lot of the stuff that they've posted. If you wanted to see who's on what roster, Raw, SmackDown, etc., who are the champions, they have a superstar page. You have a direct link to their shop, and you have a direct link to all of their upcoming events. AEW needs to create something similar, a mobile app, so that the front page news, the roster, the shop, the events are all there. So if you missed an episode or whatever, you could probably implement it so that you could add ROH on the app. Like ROH has their own app. It's watchroh.com. But if AEW created a mobile app and implemented ROH inside of it, put Watch ROH on the app, I think you could get more people to download the AEW app and maybe download Watch ROH or you know what I mean? So they need to create a mobile app. And as an option, this isn't optional feature, but make it interactive for the fans. I think AEW fans would be more receptive than WWE fans to having an app that during the show you can interact in different ways. So like, I don't know, Ricochet fights Ace Austin on Collision tonight. If they had an app and it was interactive, well, which move comes next? Or after the match, how would you rate the match out of 5 stars? You know, make it interactive, make it fun. Maybe bring back some of the like WWE Taboo Tuesday stuff or Cyber Sundays where, well, this person has a match tonight, but who are they going to wrestle? Vote now, make the app interactive. And it could just be something that can, because like, I use my phone more than I use my computer. And I know I have a internet browser on my phone, but I would prefer an app. I use apps more than I use the internet to look stuff up. So I don't know. Maybe that's just a personal one, but I think a mobile app for AEW is something that they need, because I think at some point they may have to run their show without a mainstream market. Like that is like, and even if they don't, it's better to prepare as if you do have to at some point and get the fan base while it's hot than wait till after your media rights deal is done and you're not able to resign or you're not able to find another suitable partner. So go ahead, create that mobile app for me. The fourth thing is Ring of Honor has had some really good segments lately. This week, they had this really big, delicate promo vignette package for the Hechicero versus a Bandido match at Death Before Dishonor for the ROH championship. and it was shown on YouTube, and it's like, this is such a big deal. ROH needs to get on TV. They need to get a media rights deal. Because here's the concern. TNA is going to get one. NXT has one. WWE shows have them. AEW's main shows have them. ROH needs to be on TV. And I don't care if it's like on Sci-Fi or whatever, right? Like, they need to find a way to get a media rights deal for ROH. Because they have some really good stuff being shown on ROH. It's just behind the paywall of having to get a Watch ROH account to watch it. Like, I think you're stifling the amount of people that are wanting to do so. And I think you can, I think you'd have a bigger reach with ROH television if it was on a TV with a media rights deal. All right, fifth one. They need to get their pay-per-views on HBO Max now, before 2026, when ESPN takes WWE Premium Live Events. Do it now. Make it part of the experience of having HBO Max. Make it one of the big things that HBO Max has to offer, as we have live pay-per-views. Do it before UFC goes to Paramount. Be the first to do it. Because sometimes it's better to be first and have the exposure and have that media time. Because I'll get to this a little bit later in more depth. But the reality is the competition between WWE, TKO, and AEW isn't going to be Raw versus Dynamite, or SmackDown versus Dynamite, or NXT versus Dynamite, or TNA versus Dynamite. It's going to be on social media with the perception around each company. This is why WWE is double booking, because they want to be the last thing that people talk about. And it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. They just want people talking about the product. They want to create those viral moments. So from here on out, I'm going to assume every WWE show, that every premium live event, is going to end in some form of surprise or shocking thing. That way they can end their show with a viral moment. That way they can get the media world talking. Because if they can kind of silently suppress AEW's reach on social media, then it's over, right? If WWE wins the war of online, it's over. AEW has a better product, but if they can't get the word out on social media, it doesn't matter if they have 20-star matches. You got to be able to communicate with the masses. And if WWE wins the war online, that's going to be the thing. So if you get your pay-per-views on HBO Max, or even if you put everything on Amazon Prime Video, but do it as part of the subscription, make it a little bit cheaper. Now you're a step ahead of the game. You can get that initial boost of, hey, we did it first. Like, you announced it, but we did it first. So they got to get it on Max, or they got to get it on Prime Video. And I understand the pay-per-view model is how they make a lot of their money. But they got to do it in a way that, like, if you want to win the battle, if you want to win the war, like, you got to win this battle. You got to win the battle of getting off of cable and getting the cord cutters to buy into your product. Because if they're not buying cable, they're probably not buying $60 pay-per-views. And so you got to find a way to get them on these streaming networks as part of the platform, as part of the subscription to the platform, and make it cheaper for fans. They got to do it now before WWE takes advantage and gets all of the press when it happens. All right, number six. And I think this is the one that's the closest to happening. You got to create that women's tag team division. You got to make the women's tag team division your selling point. Let's just be honest. The women's division in AEW is some of the highest rated pieces of their show. Women's tag team wrestling would be glorious in AEW because men's tag team wrestling is glorious. And the women's division, in almost every facet, they put on better spectacles than the men in almost every facet. I think this women's tag team division, we could show WWE how to do women's tag team. And here's a benefit for AEW having a women's tag team division for WWE fans is AEW is going to do women's tag team wrestling so well, it's going to force WWE to have to do their women's tag team division better. Like, I'm excited for a women's tag team division with women's tag team champions. We go back to talking about Dark Elevation being a women's only show. This is where you can use the women's tag division. You can create new tag teams and showcase them on Dark Elevation and then push them to the position. Because we got to be honest, on a two-hour show, the women are probably going to get two or three segments. They're probably getting 20 to 30 minutes at most on a two-hour show. So if you that's not enough time to create new tag teams. That's not enough time to push the main stories. Like, in your main stories right now are Toni Storm and the women's division and Mercedes Moné. And that's the way it's going to be. So use Dark Elevation, create these tag teams, implement desire to watch the tag teams, and then there you go. That's how you get it done. So that tag women's tag division, it's number six on my list. I think it's number one in terms of it's going to be the first one completed. And it may be the one of the most important because you can make this your selling point. We have the best women's tag wrestling. And you'll get some fans that love women's wrestling, but don't know a whole lot about AEW to at least check it out. All right, number seven. AEW is doing really well with partnerships with CMLL and New Japan, even Rev Pro to some extent. But on a local level, they need to do a little bit of a better job partnering with local indie shows. Imagine AEW comes to town and allows their wrestlers to wrestle in that town's local show. So we're in Cleveland, Ohio, and then for a Wednesday night Dynamite, and then that Saturday, some of those wrestlers you see on Dynamite are also going to be at your local indie show. Now the people who know, like, just saw them just a couple days ago, get to see them again on Saturday, and it'll help these local indie. You want to win the war against WWE. You got to make the independent wrestling scene strong. And it is pretty strong, but it's not strong enough to beat Thanos on its own. AEW has to push the support to help the indie scene be strong enough to support what WWE is going to try to do to the indie market, which is essentially suppress it so that WWE gets to really pick and choose who gets to be like the big superstars on a global level. And you're going to have guys that work the local indie scenes for their entire career and probably better than half the roster of AEW and WWE. I don't know, we'll just be completely honest. There's a lot of indie wrestlers that just don't get notoriety, and AEW should be the company to partner and to show what a partnership could look like with these local shows and get some of these people some notoriety. AEW comes to my area and they show someone like Brad Attitude or Gustavo or what's it, Psycho Boy Fodder, Angelina Love run this area now, and they've had some. Angelina Love had some run, I think, in TNA at one point. Or they show they partner with DPW when they're in Raleigh. They partner with AML when they're in like the Wake, the Winston-Salem, Greensboro area. They partner with some of the Charlotte show. They partner with Darius Lockhart's company when they're in Charlotte as an ASE wrestling. I'm telling you, like, you got to partner with these shows and you'll get some really, I think the local areas get some benefits, but like AEW itself gets a benefit. You get a stronger indie scene helps AEW, a weaker indie scene hurts AEW. So partner with these local indies. And I think AEW actually benefits from that more if you have a stronger local indie scene. And I just think it would be cool to have partnerships to where like, hey, we're going to use your talent on Dynamite to do like enhancement matches with some of our guys, but we'll bring some of our guys to your shows that weekend. And let your guys get over on us. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. I think it would be a good thing for AEW to do. Number eight, they got to advertise the shows better. Not necessarily AEW advertising, but from the partners at on shows at TNT and TBS. Every baseball game that's on TBS or every hockey game that's on TNT should have some form of announcement about AEW. Because I turn on CW to watch the NASCAR races on CW, and NXT gets plastered by everywhere it goes, right? NBC talks about the SmackDown occasionally, right? And so, like, the TNT-TBS partnership, we need to be able to have the live events introduce AEW to the audience. And I haven't seen it, or I haven't seen it done a lot or executed well. So we just need advertising as a whole for AEW could get better, but especially from the TV market, from TNT and TBS partners, man, you got to shout it from the rooftop that you got to watch AEW. And I haven't seen it done if it has, it hasn't been done very well. Number nine. Content creators should be invited to shows to have an elevated experience. You got to win the war online. And if you can get someone like Dante Toro or Johnny and Marissa some of these big content creators on TikTok and X and all social media to have this big experience at AEW. They get this elevated experience. They can go behind the scenes. They can, you know, have their AEW wrestlers and all of their content if they're shown on TV. If you can, WWE is trying to push away from some of these content creators, right? They care more about showing Hollywood and less about the people that actually make the content on wrestling. If AEW becomes the place where we're content creator friendly, we're not going to demonetize all of your videos. We'll invite you to do behind the scenes stuff. We'll invite you to have an elevated experience at the shows. We are going to be content creator friendly. This becomes a way that people are going to talk about AEW. And again, like I said, you got to win the war online. That's the war. Like, the numbers and the metrics and the ratings and all of that stuff on the TV side, like, those are just tiny battles. But the entire war is being fought online, and you have to win that sector of the war. Because if you lose the online war, you lose the entire war, right? If you lose the battle online, you lose the entire war. And so you got to win the war by winning the battle online. And so inviting these content creators to have a more elevated position and elevated experience on your show. Partner with some of the bigger content creators, or even some of the smaller content creators. Shit. Like, if AEW wanted to, you know, partner with this podcast, I would be all for it. I would. I mean, I advertise AEW content for free half the damn time. If they want to partner with me and to do some content, you know, you're going to, it can't just be all the big creators. You got to do the small creators too. Help elevate the space, get, you know, and create just this ecosystem of pro wrestling in the way that it should be online. And bada boom, bada bang, you know, like, AEW should want to maybe bring some of these creators in to do like an episode of AEW Unrestricted. Because I feel like AEW is the more fan-friendly show. And so if you can paint that position on your social media platforms, that you are the show for the fans by the fans, there you go. That's how you elevate your position online. And then the last one, number 10, ignore all of the noise. Because no matter what AEW does, there has been and there will always be haters. From day one, there were haters. So there will always be haters. I remember, though, like, you know, AEW is doing something good when day one it was, at this point, they're just a t-shirt company. They haven't done anything in the business. We don't have to worry about them. That was the position 6 years ago. We don't have to worry about them. WWE has nothing to worry about. AEW is not going to even compete. WWE has nothing to worry about, right? That was their position. And 6 years later, their position is now, their meaning WWE's position is now, we have to do everything we can. We have to win a three-sided war to suppress AEW from having any market share. They're so worried about AEW actually being a competitive marketplace. They're so upset that AEW has raised the price on these free agents that everybody is expecting to make a lot more money than they were before AEW, because AEW is offering lucrative deals, that they're trying to shut it down. And if you can't see that without AEW, WWE goes back to the monolith that it was, you don't get as much money, you have no other options, and the people that should be getting pushed end up stuck, not being able to be the star that they should be. AEW, in a general consensus, is a net positive in the wrestling industry, because it allows wrestlers to get paid the way that they should be paid in competitive fashion. They're paid competitive wages. Without AEW, this wouldn't happen. The amount of money WWE has to spend on contracts, AEW has to spend on contracts, wouldn't exist without AEW and without Tony Khan throwing the money out in the first place. But it's the money that they deserve to make. It's a competitive market. And AEW helped wrestlers pay. They helped wrestlers get the time off that they want to get time off. Like, AEW is just from all facets. WWE wants to destroy so that they can go back to being what it was, where we're going to play hardball on pay, play hardball on time off, play hardball in story, not push people we should, not listen to the fans. And so, listen, AEW, you've obviously struck a nerve. And you've done it by ignoring the noise, by not biting into the clickbait, by Tony Khan not going out there and saying, saying the stuff that he used to say on social media. He's just quietly built a really good product over the past handful of years. And so for AEW to secure their place, you cannot bite at all of the noise that is coming from WWE's side. Let WWE take the shots, because it makes them look dumb. They spent all of WrestleMania week and all of SummerSlam week taking shots at AEW. And all it did was make AEW more popular. It put more eyes on the product. I've seen more people since SummerSlam decide to watch AEW for the first time and enjoy it than I've seen in quite a while. And so ignore the noise. There's always going to be the haters, and they're allowed to hate what they hate. But ignore it. Don't give them what they want. Don't bite. Don't take the bait. And AEW will have its space in pro wrestling. WWE is going to do WWE things. It seems like they do more negative PR for them than positive here recently. So they're going to do WWE things. They're going to have the people who love them, and who hate them. There's only a small percentage of people that are, I think, in the middle. And I think they've been persuaded to say WWE keeps taking all these shots. And the perception is it's because they're they're having to play hardball now because AEW's, you know, winning the battle. And so they have to get super aggressive. But sometimes when someone gets desperate and super aggressive, they make mistakes. So ignore the noise. Let WWE make those mistakes. And then AEW can just sit in the background and just keep doing its thing. Y'all, that's all I had to talk about today. AEW, I think it'll be around. Like I said, Tony Khan has enough money to fund this for a while by himself. I do have concerns about after this media deal where AEW goes. It's a minuscule fear right now. It's several years down the line, I think. This is going to take time. WWE, I think they're introducing the fear now, the plan now, but this plan's going to take several years to implement. They're not going to be able to do what I think WWE wants to do tomorrow. It's going to take time. So AEW has some time to implement, I think, some of the things I mentioned, and there's others that they can do to secure their future. I think them partnering with Prime on Prime Video on pay-per-view sales is a way to say, let's build a position with Amazon Prime so that if Warner Bros., HBO Max, you know, we end up losing them as a partner, we have this partnership with Prime. I think that's why they're pushing it so hard. And I think eventually at some point Amazon Prime could be the home of AEW. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Tune in next Thursday on the live stream. We'll be doing our Forbidden Door prediction show. Forbidden Doors next Sunday. Buy the pay-per-view. The card's probably the best Forbidden Door in a while, if not of all time. And we'll see y'all next Thursday. This is Junkyard James. Thank you for tuning in to the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to y'all soon.